What is up, everybody? I am back with another edition of the State of Bitcoin podcast, where I'm joined by Zach, founder, CEO, all around everything of Coddle Storage at coddle.co or at Coddle Storage on Twitter. We get into the background behind Coddle Storage, some of the struggles that he's faced as an early entrepreneur in the Bitcoin space. Overall, his product and everything like that. And if you are catching the audio, you can catch some of the YouTube video to kind of see some of his products, or just check it all out on coddle.co. That's CODL.co. He's got a great, amazing punch plate product to help you hold your own keys to prevent from companies like Celsius and Voyager and others that quit withdrawals. So be sure to check it out. And like always, Bitcoiners, hold your own keys, not your keys, not your coins, not your keys, not your coins. Then we get into six current event stories. The Ethereum merge, the meth heads, they did it again. They are all putting on this farce, this illusion. So listen for our opinions on that. Canadian's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau tweets out a tax on Bitcoin, the current CPI at 8.3% year over year. The White House suggesting that Bitcoin mining standards to help battle climate change, allegedly. The Bitcoin mining hash rate reaches a new all-time high, and Nigeria becoming the first African country or West African country to create a economic free zone for Bitcoin and crypto. So be sure to check this episode out and give it a listen. But as always, ladies and gents, this is not financial advice, and everything you hear in this episode should not be taken as financial advice. Both Zach and I are strictly stating our opinions on these topics presented below are presented. And everything you hear in this episode should be not taken as financial advice and strictly our opinion. So be sure to give it a listen. And now let's get into the episode. Whoosh. A little double sound there. I apologize. But for those streaming me sats, I really do appreciate it. And so I'm going to read a couple boosts. So I got one from SPJ. Greetings from the London, UK. Great show. I also have one from Joey's Achilles. So I believe this is from Joey's Achilles from the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast. Joey Tweets has mentioned that he can destroy you in a 40-yard dash with his eyes closed and arms behind his back. Can you put him in his place? Well, I mean, I did run track in college, so if Joey wants to take me in a race, I'm putting my flag down right here, and I'd be more than happy to race Joey. I am a partner with BitGet, and you can use my affiliate link that is in the YouTube description. And you can use it to get zero fees on spot trading and up to a $100 match on your first deposit
to get
and much, much more. So be sure to check out BitGet, and you'll be able to receive up to almost $4,200 in rewards and much, much more. And so, on that note, I have a very, very special guest. I met him at BitBlock Boom. He's the founder of Coddle Co. Zach, how are we doing tonight?
Hey, doing well. Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. So, we met, like I said earlier, we met at BitBlock Boom, and I just absolutely love your product and love the mission behind, the whole story. And I think one great thing about the Bitcoin space is a lot of Bitcoiners kind of really emulate that proof of work. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the mission behind Coddle Co. and how you kind of got started and what drove you to become, an entrepreneur in the Bitcoin space.
Awesome, great. Yeah, it was great meeting you at BitBlock Boom. I had a great time there, by the way. Met so many excellent people and got a lot more inspiration for future revisions and more products. So that was great. Anyway, yeah, no, I'm just a regular Bitcoiner. I've been trying to hold on all these years, and I was really obsessed with the Metal BIP39 backups. I was a really big fan of like the crypto capsule. It's a little cylindrical tube. It was a really nice form factor. But you know, there it was pretty expensive and it had all these little pieces to it. And I know that the little steel piece on the end is holding all the pieces on there and it's secure, but didn't really feel safe with it. And then by the time I discovered CoinKite, I had to try out their steel plate and I was really excited about that. You know, it seems so simple, just one piece of metal. Although it was fairly expensive and etched there in Canada. But I got it and it was way larger than I was expecting. So I did reach out to him to see if he was interested in making like a multi-part version or a compact version, and he didn't really seem too interested. So I thought, you know, I could probably do this, and yeah, here we are.
Yeah, and it's awesome stuff. So, why don't we go through your product a little bit? So, how did you decide to, I guess make it a little bit different and differentiate it? And, for those listening, I'm pulling up his website on the YouTube stream. So, if you're not following me on YouTube, you should go ahead and do that, and subscribe and watch the videos here too. Listen to them and watch them. But anyway, it's coddle.co. So CODL.co is the website if you're interested in getting a punch plate. And essentially what a punch plate is, why don't you describe a punch plate and like the purpose and kind of the benefits of having a punch plate like your product?
Yeah, great. So the punch plate is just a steel BIP39 backup. So the words that you would get from pretty much any wallet, hardware wallet or phone is going to spit out 12 or 24 words. So this just allows you to record it permanently in steel to avoid any potential disaster from like flood or fire. That's really its primary purpose. Yeah, and so you know I was a Like I said, I was a fan of the CoinKite seed plate, but it was really large. And when I used it, I noticed that all the squares had lots of unused space. We were making just little tiny marks inside the fairly large squares. But you couldn't really shrink it down much more because the font size was already small. So yeah, basically we just took those four columns and each of the seed plates columns, like one word is in four columns. So we took those and just put it into one column. Kind of subdivided into different quadrants. I can go show maybe a more close-up picture.
Yeah, so I mean, it's overall just like, it seems like you just made the product a little bit more efficient, a little bit smaller and everything like that. So, I know you've used a little bit of different kind of metal, and you've tested this through the ringer. So why don't you go through some of the tests that you've done to kind of make sure that this is that this will last and through, any kind of possible scenario that there could be.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've tested it. Primarily, fire was our big concern there. So all the initial products, we just tested them in like large oak campfires, and we just let those burn for several hours and then eventually hosed it off and pulled it out. And you can see like this was one of our older models. They were a little bit thinner. We've since made them a little bit thicker. That way, when you punch into the steel, it doesn't indent the other side so much. Here's one after a fire. You just kind of brush it off with some sandpaper and it reveals the dots there. So,
Yeah, and for those not up there or watching on YouTube, it has overall just kept its shape pretty well, and you can see on the images on the website, you could see obviously not as clearly if it was undamaged, but you could still see the phrases. You could or not the phrases, but you could still see the letters and the numbers to be able to get your phrase. And so, obviously Bitcoiners have kind of been preaching hold your own keys, like not your keys, not your coins. So, how's I guess the response been for your product and for Coddle Co. Overall, since a lot of this craziness has gone on with like companies like Celsius and others that have essentially like almost made it in like legal court cases saying that you give up your Bitcoin when you post them on their platform. Have you seen like a pretty positive response? And, are you getting a lot of people kind of, a little bit more of a higher demand, I guess, of your product?
Yeah, we've sold to, I believe, 37 other countries now. We primarily sell in the U.S., but we've definitely shipped packages all over the world. So, at BitBlock Boom was really great. I got lots of feedback, and it was just really great to see people's face when they looked at it and then realized how you used it. And they just usually thought it was the coolest thing ever. And they're really, really excited. And that gave me a lot of, motivation and confidence. I was worried about it before, because I'd never been in like a public setting like that, but it went over really well. I was very surprised, actually.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the Bitcoin community is very encouraging of people just trying to, make products that help, run your or help manage your Bitcoin and help kind of do all that kind of stuff. So was that your first conference that you've gone to? And, do you go to any like kind of Bitcoin meetups or anything like that? Or is this kind of your first interaction of hanging out with a bunch of Bitcoiners?
Yeah, no, it really was the first time, even though I've been in it since for quite a while. It was definitely a first time Bitcoin conference, and it was really great too. Just everybody was kind of on the same page. I felt like you could just talk to them about anything, and that was just, it was really great.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing about Bitcoin conferences that I've kind of noticed is that, Bitcoin kind of touches so many different things, and we'll get into a bunch of these different stories, and I'm sure we'll have, a pretty similar view on a lot of these things just because, the nature of Bitcoin and freedom and all that kind of stuff. For the listeners out there, I really encourage you to go to either your local meetup or start a meetup or go to some of these conferences because, the in-person interactions that you get, whether you have something or you have an idea or something like that, it's just, I feel like for me, it's really motivating, and you get to meet cool people doing cool things like yourself, which, I honestly didn't hear of, Caudle Co before, but, now I know you guys and I know your great product, and, I'm definitely wanting to get some. And so, I'm recommending you guys to all my friends who are looking for punch plates to, hold their own keys and everything like that as well. So, I think, it's really encouraging and really awesome to kind of see and meet these Bitcoiners that you maybe interact with over Twitter or something like that. See them in person, because at the end of the day, we're all humans, and that in-person interaction is awesome. So I'm really glad you made it out to BitBlock Boom. Do you have any plans for any future conferences to go to, or any meetups or anything like that?
Yeah, well, I would love to start a meetup out here. I'm sure... I don't think that there's too many people in my particular area, but I definitely plan on going to BitBlock Boom next year. I do have tickets for the Bitcoin conference. I'm not sure if I'll be able to make it this year, but I do hope to get to more of those meetups or conferences for sure.
Gotcha. Well, I don't know if you want to dox yourself and kind of say where you're located at. Look out for Caudle Co and the potential meetup in the future. Outside of that, what has it been like, what has the start of, building this company been like for you? How has it been like being an entrepreneur and kind of like a turbulent kind of Bitcoin market? We've seen, obviously, I don't like to talk about the price too much, but we've seen it, go from the high of 69 to floating around 20K or so now. So have you seen kind of like, maybe a dip in response, or have you kind of seen like a steady growth because, a lot more people are kind of seeing the power of Bitcoin and wanting to hold their own keys?
Yeah. So we started about a year and a half ago, and I say we, it's really just me and my wife helps me, and my oldest son who's 6 helps me. So we have been seeing fairly steady growth. So that's been really wonderful. Although, it has been way more difficult to start a company, specifically, I think a Bitcoin company, from my experience. I followed tons of people, and I was, really big fans of quite a few people, and a lot of them would interact with me with my name. But then, once I started a company, I was like a corporation and a business, and then it was just really hard to get any traction at all. And so I did reach out to a lot of the people I had followed, and most people just, never responded or whatever. So that was a little discouraging. A few people did though, shout out to Odell for, he gave me the time of day and tried to get my stuff out there. And he actually helped us auction off a giant steel Bitcoin white paper at BitBlock Boom. So we had 75% of those funds donated to the HODL ONNOTS Defense Fund. So that was really great. And yeah, there were some other big fans of mine that, were it was a little bit disappointing seeing their take on the product. I'm sure everybody's familiar with Jameson Lopp. He's done great things for Bitcoin. He has great resources out there. You can find all his stuff on lopp.net. Anyway, I was a little bit disappointed by his latest stress testing. I'm not sure if anybody saw our review, but we did get a B on our smallest punch plate on the corrosion testing. So I was actually really upset by that at first, just because, nothing had really changed with our product besides the kind of like the pattern on it. So I reached out to him and kind of tried to get some more information, and he actually mentioned he used the automatic center punch tool from the Tiny Seed company, which is meant for titanium, and it's actually a really wide punch versus the one we include for free. So that kind of like made the dimples really large, and then when he did the acid test, I can't tell if it actually made the dimples like much larger or if it's just the resolution on the photo. But when I pointed this out to him and he looked at the punch tool we include versus the one he used, he recognized that it was a mistake, and so we actually ended up sending him more products, and I believe he's going to be, retesting and giving it another opinion. He actually said too it was a little bit hard to use if you don't have good hand-eye coordination, or but again, he was using the wrong tool, and our punch tool that we include is very sharp, and it fits right into the little guides, while the automatic center punches don't. So again, I was just a little bit upset by that. Just he was kind of one of the guys I always look up to. So, but anyway, I think we're gonna get that resolved, and a lot of good things actually came from it too. Initially, I didn't think. Initially, I thought. The acid test was actually how it was going to turn out for all of them. And so I got to work immediately just trying to redesign and come up with more and more things, and ended up discovering a couple of things we can do to improve it. But after, I had done, days of redesign and work, we decided to just try the muriatic test just how he had done it. With like a couple different punch tools. So we tried with ours, and that's what I had up on the screen earlier. I'll go back to it real quick. This was our muriatic test, or acid test. And you can see the punches didn't widen, they didn't go into any other groove, and are very legible there. So anyway, that's when I kind of reached out to him and said, hey, what punch tool did you use and all that. And so anyway, that's getting resolved, and but anyway, long story short, yeah, it has been very difficult to start a Bitcoin business. Also, I'll note, the Twitter algorithm and them not showing the people that follow you your posts always. It sort of seems to be that they kind of cherry pick them.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. And I give you a bunch of credit for starting this company and doing all that. And What is, you know, I don't know if you want to dox too much, but what is your background and like what kind of motivated you? I know you kind of said like, you know, you got this product or you talked to CoinKite and you kind of saw ways that you could make it a little better, but you know, what's your background in the sense of like, you know, you're like, hey, I can do this a little bit better. You know, do you have like kind of an affinity for this, or did you you know, just kind of think to yourself, hey, this is something that I can do better. I just gonna Google and kind of figure it out on my own.
Yeah, you know, I like solving problems and especially really hard problems that where you can just kind of like draw stuff out and kind of doodle and kind of, you know, just see what works. My background is just in IT. I've been in you know, like fixing computers, and then I got into IT and system administration and a little bit of programming here and there. Shout out to a good mentor. Programming mentor, by the way, Rusoft at Rusoft on Twitter. He's making a Bitcoin library in Elixir, by the way, from scratch. He's an amazing programmer. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do justice just describing it. You guys have to go check out his library. And anybody that's interested in learning either a new language that when maybe you have struggled with others, you should definitely try Elixir. And if you like Bitcoin, that's kind of the best of both worlds. So yeah, that's Rusoft.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, everybody should go check out his stuff. And on that note, let's get into some of these stories because there's been a lot of craziness that has gone on here in this past week or so. But the biggest news, I think, you know, in the I guess the crypto world right now is the Ethereum merge. So ETH, the king of all shit coins, is now going through the long-awaited merge. So for those who don't know or haven't been following along or kind of keep their head in the Bitcoin world and only in the Bitcoin world, good for you, and you should keep doing that. But if you know, have seen everything else going on, kind of seeing Ethereum merge trend on Twitter, ETH is essentially transitioned from proof of work to proof of stake. And so you know, although the kind of I guess they're positive that the Ethereum, the meth heads, as I like to call them, have been saying is that it's going to consume a ton less energy. They're neglecting a lot of the major trade-offs of proof of stake compared to proof of work. And so some of them have already been seen to backfire. So, you know, as of this recording right now, we're seeing ETH, the overall price kind of tanking. And seven of the top addresses having nearly 70% of all ETH already mined. And yeah, so what do you think about all of this, I guess, noise going around the Bitcoin space with this Ethereum merge and, you know, ETH kind of taking a tumble here and, you know, potentially, you know, man, who knows? Maybe it'll go down, maybe it won't. I don't know. But what do you think about all this hubbub around Ethereum and this merge?
Well, I'm sort of in that boat where I don't really pay attention to pretty much anything that's not Bitcoin. You know, you'll get burnt out just trying to learn even 1% of all the stuff out there. But, you know, moving to proof of stake is a backwards move. We already kind of had that. Yeah, it's completely centralized. I mean, maybe not completely centralized, but, I mean, I couldn't sync a node. Maybe I could now with the internet that I have now, but I know that most people on cable have a terabyte data cap limit, so I don't know how many months it would take to sync or how many terabytes you would need to sync, but it's certainly not something that an average person's going to do. So it's not really money of the people. It's you know, Vitalik's company and the people that work with him. There are obviously lots of open source developers and people working on it, and they've kind of conned a lot of people into it, but yeah, ultimately I try and stay out of it. I don't know what they were merging, by the way. Like I know
Yeah,
that they were transitioning,
it was more
but
of a transition, I agree. And I don't really know why they call it the merge either, but you know, I mean, like you said, it's
Sounds
more
cool.
centralized now than it was before. But I mean, it's still pretty centralized. I think like 60% of the Ethereum nodes are on AWS, Amazon Web Services, and I don't know if you kind of saw anything else, but exactly like you said, like how is it kind of better than the current system? It's essentially the proof of stake or POS stands for piece of shit, I think, because it's centralized everything. It was even the top article on the World Economics Forum website today. And so I don't know if like if that's not a sign for you that this is kind of like a psyop or a way for the WEF to get into kind of like the greater crypto world, then I don't know what is. Like, what do you tell like your friends or people that you know that kind of like approach you about these other things and say like, hey, I hear about Bitcoin, I hear about Ethereum, I hear about some of these other shit coins. Like, how do you kind of convince them that it's Bitcoin only, or do you just kind of let them come to you and just be like, all right, well, you got to go through that kind of like shit coin journey and get burned a little bit in order to kind of become a Bitcoin maxi.
Yeah, I mean, most people are probably just going to have to be burned. All my old friends, I told them about Bitcoin forever, and none of them wanted to listen, but to this day they all own like a really tiny amount of Ethereum and a tiny amount of all the other shit coins, and they're just kind of hoping for that moonshot, and that's why pretty much all these altcoins are just kind of like affinity scams. I don't know if that's the exact correct term, but they say they're like Bitcoin, but they're different, right? So everybody thinks it's going to be like Bitcoin and could go to the moon, and they're just like kind of just gambling, basically. So a lot of them don't see the need for the money, or they don't understand like our current system and our current money, because if they did, they would buy Bitcoin. Shout out to a couple guys at BitBlock Boom. A couple good ways that they orange people. One of them was, if you understood Bitcoin, you would buy Bitcoin. Like, that's the first one. And then the other one is just kind of like, what problems do you have in the world? And like, what do you think is wrong with the world? And when they, tell you what's wrong with the world, you connect it back to the money. And so that was some interesting orange pill techniques I have yet to try out, actually, but I appreciate the insight from those guys.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, orange pilling's a tough game. I was actually on a space earlier today with Casa and BTC BAP to try to. They were kind of going over like how they orange pill people and everything like that. So shout out to Casa and what they're doing out there. Obviously, great stuff. But that's beside the point. I think like back to the ETH merge. I think like it's getting so much publicity and it's been hyped up. They've said that it was going to take, I don't know, a couple months, and it ended up taking like 5 or 6 years. I mean, I just think like at the end of the day, like it's kind of tumbling and it's going to be cra and it's crashing like literally right before our eyes. Like we're watching the price tumble dramatically. We're watching it get dramatically centralized. I mean, like you said, it's like it's Vitalik's company and it's essentially like it's something that is going to be just kind of no better than the current system. And I think at the end of the day, I hope people kind of see this scam for what it is and kind of wake up to that fact and go and start to try to explore Bitcoin and see really why Bitcoiners are so passionate and why maybe they come off as or get the reputation as like a quote unquote toxic Bitcoin maxi. And so, yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, this is all just kind of noise surrounding the greater Bitcoin ecosystem. And, it's something that is taking away from Bitcoin. But I think at the end of the day, it's actually going to work against Ethereum, or at least it seems like it is right now. And because of that, it might be good for Bitcoin in the end. And so that's all we can really hope for. But, some of the things that might not be good for Bitcoin is, a lot of countries and major political leaders have been actually tweeting against Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. So we've had Justin Trudeau, for those who don't know, is the Canadian Prime Minister. So sorry, Canada. He has just been all over the place. So we've had him lock out bank accounts for the Canadian truckers. We had him, you know, with all over kind of the news with the COVID pandemic and everything like that. And he's also limited the amount that Canadians can buy, or I guess he's proposed a limitation of the amount of Bitcoin crypto that Canadians can buy. And now he's even tweeting super negatively about Bitcoin, saying that opting out of inflation, or saying that you can opt out of inflation by buying Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, is just irresponsible. And it's obviously a play at, you know, his other opponent, who is very pro Bitcoin, and it's Pierre Poilievre, I believe is how you pronounce his name. And if I said it incorrectly, I deeply apologize to all you Canadians up there. Sorry. Go drink a little Molson, or have some maple syrup on the side, or something like that. But you know, what do you think about like all this is going on? You know, compared to, you know, all this stuff that's going on in Canada and in other countries, like trying to limit Bitcoin. Like, you know, do you think overall that you know, people are going to kind of start to flock to countries that are, I guess, more friendly to Bitcoin and other cryptos? Or do you think, like, you know, at the end of the day, these countries that kind of limit Bitcoin or limit the purchases, try to limit everything surrounding the space, are going to kind of be successful and like kind of delay the success of Bitcoin overall? Because obviously, you know, Bitcoin doesn't need all this, but, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, they can put a dent into, you know, whether it's like the hash rate or something along those lines.
Yeah, well, I mean, just from my personal experience, the media in the beginning has always been anti-Bitcoin. You know, you were doing something nefarious, or I mean, it was even as simple as just like, you're upsetting the status quo. And yeah, I know a lot of people say like the politicians don't understand Bitcoin, but I think they do understand money, and they understand the control that they have from money and the control of the money. And I think they know that it's this existential threat, and if they don't do something about it, you know, it's their time sort of limited. So, yeah, they'll definitely attack it any way they can. When Trudeau says, you know, they shouldn't buy cryptos, like, he's right, right? Because most of the cryptos are scams, right? But again, you know, lumping in Bitcoin with that, right, is really what he's talking about. Bitcoin's this big disruptor, right? Disrupting things in China, disrupting things everywhere, really. I know for a long time there were businesses who couldn't get their money out of China. And I don't know if they figured this out or not, but their investments basically had to just stay with the Chinese and were inside their companies in China, and they wouldn't let the money flow out. But, you know, I could see why a lot of hash power would pop up over there due to that, if you get my hint.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think, you know, I'm very good friends with the guys over at the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast. So shout out to Joey and Lynn over there. But I know that they've been kind of tweeting about their difficulties of getting a bank account strictly because they have Bitcoiners in their name and in their company name. And so they've been locked out. They haven't been given any reason why. And, you know, I think that's partially because of things that, you know, Trudeau is putting in place and some policies like that, just kind of discouraging companies like that in Canada. And I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I can't believe that, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, it's limiting Bitcoin companies, but it's making more of a case for Bitcoin, in my opinion. And I think, like, you know, this is just not going to stop. Like, we're seeing countries kind of almost like shoot themselves in the foot or elevate the case for Bitcoin because they're doing some things to try to limit like this. So, I mean, like, you know, what do you kind of see it that way as well, where you see, like, you know, at the end of the day, there's still like kind of rising Bitcoin up because of the, no need of a third party and all that kind of great stuff that we all know and love about Bitcoin, that allows us to use it without, a central bank.
Yeah, they definitely bring more attention to it when most people would probably be like, why are you talking about that? You said that that was that crazy thing and was only for drugs or whatever. And so, yeah, I mean, publicity is not always a bad thing. So, yeah, no, I definitely think that they're hurting their credibility. But again, at the end of the day, they depend on the money printer, right? They depend on control of the currency. So, they aren't going to give that up easily. And like if they, I know freezing bank accounts and doing all that, not letting them open bank accounts is pretty crazy. But I mean, I don't know what your stance is on everything, but I'm pretty sure they were basically force vaccinating everybody or saying, you can't have a job if you don't do this, or you can't do this if you don't have a vaccine, right? And the checkpoints. And so, yeah, in my opinion, I would get out of Canada. Although, here in the US, not too much better. I just, personally believe we have an illegitimate president, yeah, no, it's been going kind of rough. I don't know if you've
No, I
been
mean,
paying
I,
attention.
yeah, no, I agree with you as well. And it's interesting that you bring that up too, because in the same tweet, here, I'll read it verbatim, Justin Trudeau's tweet, telling people that they can opt out of inflation by investing in cryptocurrencies is not responsible leadership. Fighting against life-saving vaccines is not responsible leadership. Opposing the pandemic supports that saved jobs and helped families is not responsible leadership. So, I mean, he's nailing it all in the head, and he's kind of grouping all these things all into one. And like I kind of mentioned earlier, it's like Bitcoin kind of touches all these different aspects, and one of those aspects is just freedom in general. And I agree with you. I'm lucky enough to be in Florida, where it's been kind of different, but I know in states like California, New York, and other ones, like it's been really difficult, where like you basically, like you said, it's like you need the vaccine passport. If you don't have it, you can't go every single place. So I mean, I agree with you there. It's like some places have just been similar to Canada, maybe not quite as bad, but luckily in the United States, we kind of have that we had the freedom of the states to kind of choose and determine the policies. And so I think, like Florida in some places gets bad rap, but whatever DeSantis is doing these days has gotten him extremely popular. Whereas, there's if you search Trudeau on Twitter, I believe he's just getting torn apart. Let me read some of these things that if you search Trudeau, hashtag Trudeau must go is trending, hashtag Trudeau has got to go is trending, and hashtag Trudeau destroying Canada is also trending. So Doomberg tweeted that out. So shout out to Doomberg at Doomberg T. So also a great account. Not necessarily Bitcoiner, but yeah, I mean it's insane like how things are going. But I mean I think people are kind of waking up to that fact, and I hope they kind of continue to wake up to that fact, because we just had the CPI print this past Tuesday. We're recording this on the 15th of September. The CPI for August dropped on the 13th, and it was at 8.3%. The estimated was 8.1, and it seems like the general kind of FinTwit community is, I guess, believing that for some reason that inflation has peaked. But I don't know. For me, I'll get into my points, and I want to hear what you kind of think. But I think that I think we're far from the peak. I think we're seeing the energy crisis. We're seeing Russia lower the amount of oil exported by a significant amount. The U.S. attempting to put on sanctions on China to try to prevent them from invading Taiwan, and many more geopolitical factors that can not only not only affect the US, but affect everywhere globally. I feel like we're almost kind of getting close to another, maybe a version of the Cold War, but more of like an energy kind of war, where Russia is going to be kind of strangleholding us and the globe. because of all these ESG policies that they've been putting into place. And so, some of the alarming numbers that I saw are fuel and oil is up 68.8%, energy's up 19.8%, new vehicles up 10.1%, and food is up 11.4% year over year. So I don't know. For me personally, I think this is more of a global supply issue and not strictly a monetary issue. I know Bitcoiners love to say like Bitcoin fixes this, but in the end, I think like a lot of this poor policy and like ESG has kind of caused this. Obviously, there's going to be kind of continued ESG narratives that are being pushed. And I think like the Ethereum moving to proof of stake is going to kind of have these ESG heads, I guess, kind of pushing for Ethereum over Bitcoin simply because of the ESG narrative. So, I mean, what do you think about, I guess, like Bitcoin overall as an inflation hedge and, just the overall like macro environment we're in? Do you kind of agree with me where you think like, we're still kind of far away from the peak? Are you less doom and gloom than I am? And you think maybe there's light at the end of the tunnel?
I definitely think there's light at the end of the tunnel. I'm actually really optimistic, maybe like an eternal optimist or whatever. But I mean, as far as our country, I think we're sort of infiltrated and they're kind of self-sabotaging it. As far as inflation, it could go way higher, right? We could see hyperinflation. But on the flip side, most of the money is digital from what I thought. Loans and credit cards and all these things are really just kind of in the banks. So, they always play that cyber pandemic. We've got to prepare for the cyber pandemic. And what if they did just shut off everybody's bank account or the money just kind of disappeared? So I think you could see a deflationary, like hype, like a really bad deflationary period too. So yeah, in the long run, though, whoever has Bitcoin, no matter what happens in the end, is going to have the Bitcoin in the end, So, shout out to Matt again, stack sats, stay humble, stack sats.
Exactly. And then hold your own keys and
Hold your own keys.
use the Caudle Coat punch plate. Exactly, right?
Yeah, or whatever you use. I mean, you don't have to purchase our product. I was just making it for myself and I thought I could do it better. And if you guys like it, you like it. If you want to buy a crypto capsule or a seed plate, do it. Like it doesn't, just get those keys.
Yeah, and I think that's the great thing about the space as well. I know we're gonna maybe get off on a little tangent here, but I think everybody kind of encourages all other companies too. And I think that's really the root of all of it is everybody just kind of wants to push that self-sovereignty, kind of help understand everything that's going on in the world. And I think like Bitcoiners specifically know that we're all in this together, and that's the beautiful thing about it, right? And like you said, you just made it a little bit for yourself, and you decided like, hey, if I like this and I want it, like maybe somebody else might want it. So good on you for doing that. And yeah, like you said, stay humble and keep stacking sats. Shout out Odell.
Yeah, and the samurai guys, I was next to them at Bitblock Boom. Our booths were next to each other. That was really cool meeting them too. We might be working on a little collaboration thing here in the future. So yeah, anyway, look out for that.
Awesome stuff. Yeah, I had BTZ Zelko on the pod early on, and he was talking to me about privacy. He also had a great presentation about at Bitblock Boom on privacy as well. So awesome guys over there too. So if you haven't checked their stuff out, check them out. And then check out the earlier episode with BTZ Zelko. So great guys over there as well. But on to the next story. So, as we see Canada kind of going against Bitcoin and that we're also seeing the United States kind of going against it as well. So the Biden administration, as you kind of alluded to earlier, has released a report known as Climate and Energy Implications of Crypto Assets in the United States. And it was coincidentally released the same day or the day before the Ethereum merge. I wonder why. If you don't see all these signs pointing that all this stuff is kind of connected, maybe I got the tinfoil hat on. I don't know. But The Biden admin is fighting Bitcoin mining because of the quote unquote carbon footprint of digital assets and the quantity of power utilized. So obviously, there's a cost benefit analysis that seemingly no one in the White House is actually doing. I mean, if Bitcoin becomes a global reserve currency, a medium exchange, or even just uses the ability to replace banks and transact over the Lightning Network, send, say, $5 from me to somebody in El Salvador for less than pennies at on a dollar for seemingly instantly, it's I see the power of the amount of power that is used is less than dryers in the United States and less than Christmas lights. So, I mean, if you think that all those benefits don't outweigh Christmas lights, I mean, I love Christmas lights and everything, but at the end of the day, it's just for fun, right? So this is like a full monetary policy, monetary network being used, and people are fighting it. So what do you think about this recent White House report? Were you able to check it out? What do you think about, I guess, this overall FUD that Bitcoin uses too much energy and doesn't encourage green energy?
Well, it's really the only thing that they can sort of attack and stick on, since it's kind of like what's underpinning the security of Bitcoin. So of course they're not them not wanting a competing monetary system. It's really easy for them to just say, oh, you're wasting energy on this thing we don't want, so maybe we could just turn it off. And no, it's nonsense. They've there's a lot of just like you said, all of the benefits. You don't have to have dump trucks, digging out tons and tons of dirt just to try and scavenge, like a percentage of gold from the dust. There's it's way better for the planet. And even if it wasn't better for the planet, if it was manageable, but it freed us from the people that have that are controlling us currently and in control the systems around the world, then it's it's worth fighting for, it's worth dying for. So that's why I love it.
Well, yeah, like I said, it's like the cost benefit analysis. And right, I mean, maybe the White House is onto something because it's not like the cost benefit analysis for the White House, like we kind of mentioned earlier, is really not there, right? Like, I mean, the benefit for the White House is like, slim to none, because they're going to lose potentially the global reserve currency. They're going to lose all that power, et cetera, et cetera. So, maybe that's why they're releasing something like this, and they're going to try to encourage ETH, the use of ETH, and that's like kind of going to be their end around and back around to get it. But at the end of the day, I don't really know. I mean, I think it's a lot of politicians just not really understanding Bitcoin and kind of still just not really like making policy around Bitcoin and crypto, and just not like I said, not understanding it. And it's like you need that 10,000 hours to kind of fully grasp it. And they're making laws to shape the way that the country interacts with Bitcoin, and they don't know what they're talking about. So, I mean, like, how do we kind of fill that education gap? I don't really know. Do you have any ideas?
Well, I agree that they probably don't know all of the ins and outs of Bitcoin, as even somebody who spent, 10,000 hours probably still doesn't know everything about it as far as like algorithms and things. But I do know that they do understand like what it is and what it's capable of, like replacing them. So I think that they've just been fighting a war on it ever since. And this is just going to be to again further try and sabotage Bitcoin and prolong the adoption. I think that's all they can really do though.
Yeah, exactly. It seems like they're essentially grasping at straws. And even on that note, like the Bitcoin price has kind of been floating around. There's been this report that's been released, right, by the White House, but the Bitcoin hash rate reached an all-time high. So even though the hash rate is kind of, or even though the price has been relatively stable, miners are still coming online, and more miners are kind of continuing to come online. But I mean, it's also kind of putting strain on Bitcoin miners. So, Bitcoin mining is a tough business. It relies on getting cheap energy cost, But on the flip side, it's like a necessity for the network to kind of keep performing. And so, last year it was a $15 billion industry, and that's billion with a B in 2021. And there's been a lot of money behind the industry. So I feel like somebody's going to find a way to do it. But, at the end of the day, miners have been kind of struggling. So I mean, like, what do you kind of think about like the overall mining space? Do you think like, I don't know, like, do you think like there's going to be people finding more ways to kind of get, I guess, cheaper energy? Do you still kind of see it like encouraging green energy? I know Jack Dorsey tweeted out Bitcoin encourages renewable energy. Are we going to see more companies kind of develop maybe hydro plants or maybe some solar farms or something to start mining Bitcoin? I know, what was it? Blockworks is partnering with Square slash Block to develop a Bitcoin miner, which is using an Intel chip and potentially using Tesla solar panels, and all these other big companies are involved in it. So do you kind of see more projects kind of le leaning towards that way as the hash rate kind of continues to increase?
Yeah, well, personally, just from like mining early on and seeing the transition from CPU to briefly GPU, then ASIC almost right away. Yeah, it's tough for all miners. Most of them would probably benefit if they were to just buy whatever they were about to spend in hardware and for power and just kind of stack and hold. Although, some may make it out really big if they kind of time it right, but there's probably ebbs and flows. As the more people go online, it gets harder, and so people drop off because it's not as profitable, or it may seem to be not as profitable in like today's price terms. So I think if you're a miner, you've got to really know long term where this is going. And yeah, I wasn't really a big fan of the Bitmain and the Ant miners, after the whole deal with them opposing like segregated witness. I believe it kind of threw a wrench in their covert ASIC boost, but I'll probably have to be fact checked on that. Yeah, no, it's a tough business, and I mean, I'm not mining currently just because I just can't justify spending the amount of money. And then again, to the company that, is kind of anti-Bitcoin. I am excited for, the Intel chips and for, more big name professional companies to get involved. I don't know why any of these power companies that are mainly where their main source of power is hydro, why they're not already mining, since that's pretty much, I mean, seems like free money. Again, there's that investment and the setup, and would you have just made more just buying? Probably. But yeah, you could, if you have stranded energy somewhere, then it's definitely going to drive the use of that. Also, I mean, I could see in the future, lots of energy advancements, just with the demand out there. We've kind of been living in clown world forever, and our money's fake, and our food's fake, and most of the stuff is fake. So I don't know why, maybe part of the energy stuff isn't fake as well. So I'm kind of hopeful that we'll get like, something Star Trek-y or whatever in the future, where it won't matter how much money or energy we're putting into it.
There we go. I was waiting for the takes, man. You finally brought it to me. Thank you. I appreciate it. But I mean, I agree with you 100%. Like, I mean, we're in clown world to a T. I mean, it's like everywhere you turn, there's something that's been crazy and put out there, and it's all kinds of FUD. And I think like more companies are kind of waking up to the fact that they can capture this wasted energy and capture, like, whether it's flare gas or something else. It seems like there was a report, I believe, a few months ago, maybe, or maybe this is just Bitcoin time. So it seems like it's flying by and it's maybe a week ago or something. But I feel like there was a report that was released on companies oil and gas companies looking into capturing that flare gas to mine Bitcoin. And I feel like a lot of these companies are going to continue to do that. And like you said, find their wasted energy and kind of continue to, it's like essentially they're throwing away free money, right? I mean, like, even if it costs them, even if they're, not mining as efficiently as they could, right? At the end of the day, like, you use that stuff to mine Bitcoin, like, why not, right?
Right. There was one guy I met at the conference, and I hope I don't blow a future business of his or whatever, but he worked at a waste treatment facility, managing that, and they have like literal tons of methane and tons of stuff that they have to pay to dispose of. So instead of paying to dispose of it, you could pay to convert it into Bitcoin, and you just, you just made all that money or Bitcoin.
Amen. And Bitcoin is the hardest money there is, right? So I think more and more companies and countries are going to encourage the use of Bitcoin once they kind of see the facts and not see the facts, but see the benefits behind it. And one of those countries, and this will be the last story that we'll wrap up on, is Nigeria. And Nigeria is creating an economic zone for Bitcoin and crypto. So it's kind of modeled after the Dubai virtual free zone. So they're calling this the Talent City. And so it's going to be the first economic free zone for Bitcoin and crypto in West Africa. And they're creating this through the Nigeria Export Processing Zones Authority, and they're working alongside Binance. So it seems like a lot of Bitcoin development is starting in LATAM and Africa. And I think it's pretty interesting because, historically, or at least, I don't know, in your and I's lifetime, it's been like Africa and Latin America have kind of been impoverished places of the world, unfortunately. And it seems like this is them finding their way out. A lot of these leaders are kind of making the better decisions for their people. And that's kind of taking the power out of their own hands, which is interesting because it seems like the top and these countries kind of have the maximum amount of power and money and everything like that, obviously, because they're in power. How do you what are your kind of thoughts on Africa and Latin America kind of developing as almost like Bitcoin hubs? Do you kind of see them as maybe like overtaking, or do you kind of still see them as like maybe like getting a leg up and getting a little bit closer, but still kind of like a long ways away from becoming like maybe a developed nation like the United States or some of these European countries?
Well, I think it's definitely going to help their people. Again, it's not easy for a power who can just print money on the fly to give that power up. So props to anybody who sees that it does that. We've shipped quite a few plates to Nigeria, actually, and not so many to South America yet. There's been a few countries, but no, it'll be really good for anybody that adopts it, and the sooner the better, and you just got to hold on. But I think it'll be really interesting. You see what's happening in El Salvador and all the Bitcoiners going down there, and I mean, that's really great. Any place that does adopt something like that is going to draw a lot of attention and tourism, and it's definitely going to be good for their economy. So yeah, I'm excited to see who the next country is. So.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. Bukele predicted two countries adopting Bitcoin as legal tender. We've seen Central African Republic. We'll see who the next one will be. I know there's been kind of hints of Argentina and hints of some other Latin American countries and African countries. So we'll see. I mean, what, it's September now, so we got only like three more months to see Bukele's prediction come true. So hopefully we will see it. And yeah, I think I'm very bullish on LATAM and Africa kind of going forward to kind of help their people with doing things like this. So we'll wrap up with one last question. What makes you the most bullish on the space going forward? And what kind of, or I guess maybe a two-part question, what makes you the most bullish and what gets you most excited about the Bitcoin space?
That's a great question. I don't think Bitcoin can be stopped. So that's both kind of a scary thing and also like a really incredibly bullish thing. So I think it's been baked in the cake for a decade at least. And yeah, it's really just a matter of time. I don't know, what the future or the near term holds. I think it will be really choppy in the near future. And we used to have, dollar swings, $10 swings, $100 swings, $1,000 swings. We've seen like $10,000 swings, and I expect $100,000 swings in the future. So it might be really choppy. So don't over leverage and hold your own keys and all that stuff. So be careful out there.
Amen. And on that note, we'll wrap it up. So Zach, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you and what they got and what you got going on?
Yeah, great. Well, you can find our website at caudle.co, CODL.co, or me posting on Twitter at Caudle Storage. And yeah, we do have some revisions in the works and some new products and some collaborative projects coming up. So I'm really excited about all that. And yeah, I just appreciate everybody who's purchased from us. And yeah, no, you guys are awesome.
Yeah, for sure. And keep encouraging those Bitcoin entrepreneurs like Zach and others. And go check out Coddle.co. Zach, so much. Thanks you. Damn. Oh man, I'm tripping up bad. Zach, thank you so much for your time. And we'll have to have you back come back on when maybe when you launch some collaborative thing or you got a new product coming out.
Hey, thanks, Brandon. I appreciate it.
Of course, man. Of course. Have a good one.
Take care.